Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Historical amnesia is a prevalent problem throughout society, including the church. Americans faced with the economic meltdown of October 2008 panicked with little reflection on the recession of the late 1970s or the depression of the 1930s. Christians who face persecution, whether in the first or the 21st century, get caught up in the present-day pressures and sometimes panic with little reflection on how this happened before and how Jesus Christ has sustained his church, each of his children, through it all, generation after generation, century after century, even millennia after millennia. The author of the Epistle to the Hebrews was encouraging, believe it or not, encouraging all this talk of people being sawn in two, encouraging first century Christians in real danger of apostatizing from Jesus in the face of the struggle and persecution they were facing. Our text is the conclusion of that great faith chapter of this epistle. The preceding 31 verses present a litany of Old Testament figures, each introduced with the characteristic noun pistai, by faith. These young Christians suffering from historical amnesia are reminded that the pattern of faith, unswerving trust that grows from God's gracious actions and promises, has sustained God's people since creation itself. The verses of our text shift a bit, though, from the neat chronological pattern of those first 31 verses. A variety of people and situations from the Old Testament, as well as the more recent Maccabean revolt times, are just dumped out in our text, most of which deal with great hardship and struggle. The author writes, "What more can I say? Time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and of the prophets who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight." With the mention of just a few names and a few situations, the whole Old Testament comes roaring back into our minds. Daniel and the stopping of lions' mouths, of Samson made strong in weakness right at the end of his life as he was chained between those two major pillars. The author calls to the mind of these new Christians that they were part of a very, very long line of faithful whom God sustained and delivered, even if it meant death and suffering. And sometimes in first century Christianity, and even one would say 21st century Christianity, we disconnect ourselves from that long line. Oh, that more would read these Old Testament Bible accounts, would read the arch books to their children so they may see these pictures in 100 Bible stories and see that the reality of Christ and his church is grounded on this centuries and centuries of God active with his people, his prophets, delivering them. Faithful prophets like Isaiah, Elijah, Elisha are alluded to as the author reminds these Christians and us of the struggles they faced. And for you future prophets, listen up. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. The author is trying to help these young Christians see that they were part of a much larger, centuries-long church made up of faithful prophets and people who had undergone what they had faced and more. He's not pointing them inside themselves to find more or stronger faith, and indeed, that's where we often look, isn't it? Inside of ourselves. Rather, the author is pointing them to the God whose gracious actions and promises created and sustained faith in the saints throughout the centuries. It is a gift of God, faith is, that continues to grow as we hear the promises of God spoken by him and see him acting all through human history. When we are tempted to have a pity party for ourselves because of the situations we find ourselves in, maybe the clothes at the clothing bank aren't quite what we had hoped for, or that first parsonage doesn't at all look at the home we sold before we came to the seminary, then this text reorders our thinking. Let's talk about caves and goat skins. And to this text, we can add another 20 centuries of historical examples. For we are reminded that in the 20th century, more Christians were persecuted and died for the faith than then in the other 19th centuries since Christ. The punchline, though, of this text comes at the end. And all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. What is it that Old Testament Israel did not receive? The something better our text talks about that God provided the new Israel to these first century Christians, to you, to me. In a word, Jesus. Jesus. The one they had heard would come, these Old Testament worthies. We have seen in the flesh, we have beheld his glory. Glory as the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth, grace upon grace. Yes, what they looked forward to in hope, we celebrate day in and day out. A Christ who came in the flesh and gave his life as a full payment for all sin, a Christ who is risen and living as our Lord, and who will come again to raise our flesh from its suffering and struggles to be likened to his glory in a restored and renewed creation. What these looked forward to, we now have in the crucified and risen Jesus, who has washed us, who feeds us with his flesh and blood, and who will sustain us from every attack of Satan and every evil. We do not look inside for faith in times of struggle, but as this letter states in the verses following our text, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.